When you engage schools in energy efficiency programs, creating fun, healthy competition, it's a win-win all around. We are turning the spotlight on a dynamic school district in Tucson, Arizona that is leading the way. Hello, I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. And we are indeed going to get down to earth, celebrating Tucson Electric Power Company's partners in sustainability. This show is the fourth of our Brighty Award Spotlight Series, and we are indeed ready to celebrate with our in-studio guest and the truly amazing and important work she personally did, and I know that for a fact, she continues to do it, to help her school district not just win this award, but make all of the changes that they have made and continue to make in the energy efficiency space at the Sunnyside Unified School District. But before I introduce our guest, just a quick tip from the sponsor of this show and another great partner of Mrs. Green's World, Tucson Electric Power. And it's another good one. And we should all be listening to these tips and doing all of them. I didn't think about this except the second part. Place your refrigerator in a cool, well-ventilated location, and when possible, some distance from the range or oven. Your refrigerator should not be right next to the stove, and that makes perfectly good sense. Avoid placing a second refrigerator in a hot garage, which we did for years. It will keep the unit working overtime to stay cool, especially in the desert when it's hot outside. So people, pay attention to this one, and I promise you, you will save money on your electric bill. And I don't know where you're going to put that second refrigerator. You might have to put it in one of your kids' rooms because most houses don't have space for a second refrigerator. But anyway, now please join me in welcoming our guest, Cindy Bova. She is the project manager, Energy Efficiency, Los Ranchitos Learning Center, Sunnyside Unified School District, and so much more. And Cindy, you can tell by my voice, it's great to have you here. And I am excited to learn more about what you accomplished to receive the Brighty Award. It's great to have you here. So just let me go on just for another minute. The award category was public school district, and just let me share a little bit about what you did to accomplish everything you did and a little bit about the district. With more than 16,000 students, the Sunnyside School District is dedicated to energy efficiency improvements and sustainability. Over the past decade, Sunnyside has been one of TEP's top 10 energy-saving customers with nearly 8 million kilowatt hours saved. Last year, the district took its commitment to a new level by having three of its schools compete in a pilot program to see which one could save more energy over a 90-day period, and we're going to be hearing about that. We're definitely going to hear about the battle of the buildings. So let's start with both an overview of the history of what Sunnyside has been doing, because what I didn't realize, Cindy, is that it's been over a 10-year commitment. This isn't like late to the party Sunnyside. This is probably one of the first to the party Sunnyside. So just give us a brief overview of, first of all, I think the mindset is important because it's the way that you approach energy cost control. So tell us a little bit about that and then a brief 10-year overview of all that's been going on because it's massive and it deserves recognition.
Okay, sure. Thank you for inviting me here today.
It's always fun.
Yes. The energy cost control is a process. It's not any particular project. It's something that you stick with and invent new things to try. And we started in 2009 to 2011, you know, one school at a time by upgrading our lighting from the T12s to T8s and T5s. Then in 2011, we were lucky enough to get some grants from the State Facilities Board, and we combined that with some voter-approved bond money, and we upgraded our HVAC systems at Sunnyside High School and at Desert View, and a control system at Challenger Middle School.
And just let me press pause for a minute. When you talk about that, I met with Todd Yeager recently from AmFi, and he was talking about what it costs to replace one HVAC unit in one building. And am I making this up? Isn't it something, tell me how much it is before I make it up. Is it $60,000 or $600,000?
It all depends on what it is that you replace.
So it could be anything in between.
It could be, yes. You know, if you're talking about, you know, a chiller, what size of chiller you're looking at, how many tons of refrigeration that it is, if you're going to include the cooling tower and pumps that go with it, you know, if you're converting from package units to central plant, yes, it
can be $600,000. Because that's
expensive.
What I remember him saying. If for a big
that's
complex,
yes.
That would be $600,000. Because I figure on a house, it can be 6 to 10 or 12.
Right.
If it's depending upon the size of the house. So for an entire, that's why it was interesting to me that you said, the next question was going to be, how did you pay for it? Well, you had bond money and you had special. So that's the answer to that. Okay. So
what the voters had approved in 2011 was $13 million in bond money to upgrade our refrigeration. So what we ended up doing the next few years was to replace the majority of our chillers, and we replaced any package unit that was 2002 or older.
What's a package unit?
A package unit is a rooftop unit. It could be one that's all electric, a heat pump, or it could be a gas pack that has, you know, a gas furnace in it also.
Well, we had a 20-year-old HVAC system on the house, and we just had to get it replaced. And the people that did it, our friends at Russ's Southwest, they said probably we will recoup the cost in about 3 years because
Absolutely.
Of energy savings.
Yes.
Now, that's
a
big deal.
Yeah.
It worked overtime.
Right.
More efficient.
So the money invested actually is money. There's a good return on the investment by upgrading your HVAC system.
Yeah, and it's good for the planet too. Mm-hmm. So that was 2011. And what about from 11 to 12?
It was more phases
of
the upgrades.
Because it's a big school district with lots of buildings.
Yeah, you can't do it all at once.
You don't wave a magic wand.
Yeah. And along with that, we included control systems to go into each school. So now everything is controlled by through my computer in my office, the temperatures, the schedules. And one of the things that I've done to reduce a lot more energy is I keep some really super tight schedules. You know, we schedule the school hours, of course, and then a little bit of time for, you know, teachers who stay in their rooms. But each room has a motion sensor in it. So if that room is not occupied, it goes into a standby, you know, after no sensing of motion after 15 minutes, after 45 minutes, still no motion, then it goes into an unoccupied mode. So there's no wasted energy any longer in our schools. So in the past, we were cooling the whole school, even in rooms that weren't being used. Now we are no longer doing that. Yes.
The energy that an auditorium takes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people that have been on the show recently talk about how much advances in technology are helping to preserve energy and weighing in on the energy efficiency scale. You're the first guest we've had that actually explains why.
Mm-hmm.
That it's each room and it's the hallways. And is there somebody, I just have to ask this because I want to know like the nitty gritty, is there someone that sits there and monitors it, or how do you know? Is it's all just done and then you have to check once in a while to make sure everything's still going?
No, I'm always constantly checking it. And I can't stay on top of everything 100%. So I will get calls that this room is too hot or this room is too cold. The other thing that we did, the HVAC techs used to lock down what the temperature was going to be in any given classroom. And teachers were not allowed to touch the thermostats. Well, I didn't like that because there is no two of us that are alike.
Right. Some of us are hot when others are cold. And
exactly.
Ask any married couple how
Absolutely.
That goes.
So what I did was gave them an adjustable thermostat, but I have a 4-degree differential, which means we have a set point, and they can go 2 degrees above that set point or 2 degrees below that. Now, every classroom doesn't always have the same number of students in.
That's what I was going to say.
Have a classroom that has 18 students. That classroom may be comfortable at a little bit of warmer temperature when it's really hot outside, but that's another classroom may have 40 students in it.
Wow.
And so
you need to pump it up.
Yeah, you're going to need a little bit cooler temperature because, you know, the humidity is going to make it feel higher just from the breath of all the students, you know, and body sweat and, you know, everything that goes with that.
So I know that you have a very, very, very comprehensive hands-on for what's going on because I know you personally and professionally, and it's amazing. I mean, thank God, thank goodness. Do you get alerts if something happens? Like, do you get alerts on your phone? Or how do you know? You can't sit in front of a computer screen. What happens if something goes out or down?
It does send out alarms, but so many times there's so many different alarms and there's so many of them. I'll get a call. But a lot of times I will catch things and the school doesn't even know that a pump failed on because of a flow sensor on their central plant. They don't even know that they're down and I have a tech there before they start realizing
that they're dying of the heat.
The building is starting to heat up or something like that.
Wow.
But most times they don't know. They honestly don't know. So it doesn't interrupt our education anymore.
No.
We don't have to wait till
it's not
we've lost that
at
temperature
right,
and
right.
It takes too long to regain it. And I have a fantastic crew that is right on the spot as soon as I call them. So most all of our units are always taken care of the same day as the call. I can get direct calls from teachers, which is fine with me. I can pull up their temperature, let them know what it is, look at what their CO2 level is. We also monitor
wow.
that for the classrooms.
Wow.
So we are, you know, keeping much healthier classrooms today than, say, what we did 20 years ago. So.
And it's staff-friendly and
yes.
student-friendly. That's
right.
What I love about it.
Yeah.
Like, you can be responsive right
mm-hmm.
away.
Right.
So then... I think, so there was phase one, phase two, phase three, mm-hmm. like 2015, and just listing all the schools, there was a ton of schools that you had to do,
right.
and the district office. So
right.
you did a lot of those upgrades then, mm-hmm. outdoor lighting, occupancy sensors, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about in the next phase, phase four?
Phase four, it...
continues up to and including now?
Yeah, Phase four is still going on, and it was for water savings because we did so much on electric savings. But you're not going to get as much savings, you know, from water. You get a great deal from replacing toilets and also your water faucets and controlling the amount of flow that you get, especially in schools. But what we wanted to do was renovate all the restrooms. So just that's not going to pay for a fully renovated restroom because we had some of our restrooms that were, you know, from the 50s.
Unreal.
That had never been upgraded.
So no high-efficiency toilets in
no,
those.
No, not at all. Not at all. So what we ended up doing was looking at all of our water. We used Tucson Water, and they sent a water auditor out with me.
Right.
We visited every school. We did measurements in the school of water indoors, outdoors, on every spigot, you know, toilet flush flow. We went outdoors. We checked for irrigation leaks, and we found numerous ones.
That's a big
Some of them were
project.
5.5 gallons per minute, 24/7. So we definitely address them because why just look at just the inside of the school when you're losing water outside? You know, you got to make sure you encapsulate all your savings that you can. But even that wasn't going to be enough return to justify the tile and the partitions. So that's when I went ahead and rolled in yet another lighting upgrade to all LEDs. And TEP was offering a great rebate at that time, and we got our application in
early. By the hair of your chinny chin chin?
Well,
or no,
early on. As early as we possibly
could. Surprised.
Because we knew that this was going to be a huge undertaking with doing every light in the whole school. So at that time, it was $10 a bulb on rebates for the 4-foot fluorescent replacement or T8 replacement. And then there was on the 1,000-watt metal halides, that was a $250 rebate on those. So I want to make sure we got all of those out of our high ceiling areas like Desert View, library, for instance, gymnasiums, just all those places. Let's get rid of them. Let's go LEDs.
But it's amazing to me to have you sit here and think about just in our lifetime, in the past 10 years,
right.
I was so proud of us when we put in CFLs in our lamps, in our home.
Right.
And now I was trying to give them away to a partner, and she said, oh, we don't want to give away CFLs. We're really on to the LEDs. That's a short time span for accelerating change.
Right. The other thing that was really cost savings about that is we were lucky enough to get a 10-year warranty on each bulb.
Holy smokes. So the money that you're saving and the rebates, I'm getting it, is now used to help get new
That was for
bathrooms.
The return
Got
on
it.
Our investment. Correct.
Thank goodness they have you.
Yeah. And well, in the rebate, what came to $820,000.
You are kidding me.
No.
On light bulb replacement?
The light bulb replacement. And that was the TEP rebate.
I hope people listen to what that number is. Yeah, I'll be misquoting that because I'll say it was 800,000 something. And people say, no, it's probably more like 82,000.
No, $820,000. Yes. And so they came to the board meeting and presented us with a check and an award. So
wow.
So our board and our community could recognize, you know, the hard work that we're all doing. It's not me. It's a whole team effort because everybody has to be. Yeah, everybody has to buy into it.
Yeah, but you know my line. I have many. Pace of the leader, pace of the team. So you need leadership in this arena. And to me, going back to what we said right in the beginning of the mindset of what you said is approach energy cost control. Energy control is a process, not a project. So
Correct. That's
what you're keeping people engaged in the process.
That's correct.
It's not like something that's finished. And it probably won't be ever because of new technologies, new things that are being, you know, the innovations every day. So that was LED lighting, HVAC, water savings. So where are you in the restroom remodelings? Is that almost finished? You have lots of schools.
Yeah. It's taken a couple of years to do that for sure, you know, because they can only do a couple schools at a time, you know, just, and you have to break it down so that school still has usage of restrooms.
Right, right.
So those contractors come in at 4 p.m. and they work till 2 a.m. So,
holy smokes.
So that they can turn the school back but still have those bathrooms locked off. And when they tear it down, they tear the bathroom down to just the bare studs in the walls. So then you can see all the plumbing behind there. So if there's anything that needs to be repaired,
right.
It's there and it's raw and that's fixed every possible leak for the future.
It's massive. And then, because I was paying attention for earlier in the show, you have to adjust the temperature in those restrooms for the people that are working there at night.
No.
You don't?
No.
How come?
They get acclimated and they're used to working with no AC or no heat.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're energy conscious as well. I mean, just like you don't adjust the heat outdoors for the road workers.
Right, right.
You know, they dress accordingly.
So, wow, that's pretty cool too. Okay, but the technology exists. Now, what about, we have to talk about the Battle of the Buildings. And you and I have talked about it and I know about it and we may have covered it on a show, but tell us about the Battle of Buildings because to me, there's so much right about that. What happened?
It was really a fun project. It was just a pilot program that we had tried that I'd like to do out to the rest of the district, but I'm delaying it a year because of all the solar we've got going on and all the changes in all the buildings with the parking and the inconveniences. So, but I want to talk about what we did. We had three schools that competed against one another, and the students took part being our energy patrols. We did an elementary school, a middle school, and our small high school STAR. And we had a big kickoff, which we had the mayor and TEP and some of our energy partners that we used, our contractors. And they were there giving out bling, you know, to the kids, some souvenirs. TEP brought in some educational materials to demonstrate with the kids. They brought their solar trailer in that has power.
It just blows your mind.
Yeah. So
and
the
they have
kids
a solar
were playing
bike
video
that
games.
Even gets people interested.
Yeah. Water management group, they came in, they did some gardening with the kids. They had set up a cistern, gutters on our portables so that they could do gardening from our rainwater. They planted trees that day. So it was an all-around great event, you know. Then it started a three-month trial of what they could do to save energy. And the kids learned about energy savings, you know, through their curriculum. Need.org is a great resource for teachers to get some free materials.
Like on, N-E-E-D?
Yes. Need. Need.
Need.org. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So teachers were able to, you know, pull down from that. I had pulled down a lot of information from them and saved them from my shared from my Google Drive, and even gave them calculators to figure out, you know, how much energy does a small refrigerator or coffee maker or those type of things take up, printers, computers. And overall, with all three schools, at the end of the 3 months, with no purchase of materials, we saved almost $7,000.
You are kidding me. Mm-mm. So did the kids love it? Did some
they
of the kids
did.
Just love
they
it
did.
And eat it up?
They did. As a matter of fact, at the event, the kids had prepared for it by making solar cookies.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, with using pizza boxes. You know, they made solar cookies.
So. And I promise you, I'm saying it on the air, you had a ceremony last month, and I had a conflict, and I got invited to it, and I always see it. So keep me on the list. I don't want to get voted off the island because being around those kids, I've been out there for a couple of the things, and it's just to be the energy. And to me, I just want to kind of press pause here and say what that does is raise awareness among children forever.
Yeah.
They will be aware that a coffee pot takes energy. They'll be aware of all of the little things that most of us, we kind of grew up unconscious of it. There's phantom energy, which
leaving chargers plugged in
and not turning off the switches and keeping computers on when you have massive amounts of computers. So these kids, were they happy about being like little tattletales in a good way? Like
Because that's what you say, hey, teacher,
you left that plugged in. Mm-hmm. And even printers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we certainly leave our printers plugged in, but $7,000 in 3 months, that's amazing.
Right. Without any purchases.
And do you remember which school won?
Yeah, it was Star High School.
Okay. That's really...
Yeah.
It was fun.
All of our teachers were involved over there. I think they took out half their light bulbs. They were lucky, though. All of their classrooms had windows along the top.
That helps a lot.
It does help
light.
A lot. Not everybody can take out half their light bulbs.
Okay, so talk about solar. Now a big, huge, massive project that you're taking on into the solar world. What's going on with that?
Okay. We're already up and running with solar at Craycroft Elementary, Billy Lane Law for our administration building, Drexel Elementary School, Los Niños, and we're about ready to turn on Rivera and Esperanza will be next. So we're moving across the district. It seems we're moving rapidly, but it's kind of slow moving too at the same time.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of moving parts.
There is. It took us 4 months at Billy Lane Law Firm, whereas Craycroft was a little over 2 months. So it all depends on how much solar that they're getting and whether or not we can do it all in one phase or if we have to break it down and do it in two phase because we just don't have enough parking. Because that's the big thing if we're putting it in a parking lot. The school facilities board will not allow for any solar to go on roofs on schools because they are the ones that give the school districts money for roofing repairs and replacements. So they don't want it on roofs. So we have to go with structures.
So is it covered parking?
Covered parking and covered playground structures.
Okay. So. Which is a really good idea.
It really
in
is.
In the summer.
Yeah.
Really good idea with the heat soon upon us. I would assume correctly that you are going to realize massive energy savings with solar.
That's correct.
We can do the math.
Right.
So then what are you going to do with all that money? I know you. You've got plans and you're going to reinvest it, but what's the plan?
Well, I look at what we're not wasting and what we're saving. That's money that can go back into the classroom rather than paying out to our utilities. You know, years ago, the state used to give school districts money for utilities, and then all of a sudden they stopped and they haven't done it for years. So it's up to the district to pay for the utilities without the assistance of the state. So the money has to be budgeted for that. But if we're doing everything in our power to do savings, then that allows for more money to go into the classrooms.
That's magnificent.
Yeah.
And what I think is noteworthy, and I know this is hard for TEP, they're all behind it. And
yes,
they have done so many rebates and aggressive partnerships to help bring this about. And they still are in the business of selling utility.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like...
They were great during the Battle of the Buildings. They came into the classrooms, especially Elvira. They did a lot of educational programs over there where the kids got their backpacks with their little items from TEP. And there was a lot of learning.
Were they solar
on.
Backpacks? Because they do have some of those.
Yes.
I know. That's amazing, too. I mean, that's interesting to me. I think the whole concept of solar backpacks was R&D with the military.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot in that space because of people being deployed in places without access to electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And solar backpacks, it's amazing how much you can charge your phone and charge your computer and all that just with your backpack. So that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to put the money back in. Is there anything we didn't cover? I think we are like literally up to about 30 minutes. Is there anything else you want to share? I love having you here, and you know that, because first of all, you're fun, and I know that, but
thanks.
You have your finger on the pulse of something that matters so much to our community and to our children and to our future.
I love my job. I really do.
I know
just
you
absolutely
do.
Love it. And I love solving problems, you know, and when we have a classroom or a school that's just not cooling correctly, I need to get that solved, you know, and the sooner the better, you know, and the faster I can take care of things, the better it is for everybody.
Very proactive approach, not something you felt like you had to do.
No.
To me, when you look at all of your initiatives, they're very aggressive and exciting and cutting edge, and school districts take a lot of electricity.
Yes.
I know I've had statistics on just cooling a gymnasium when it's 110 degrees out and the kids aren't going to be in it for hours and hours and hours.
Right. And I've created calculators for us to use when we rent out our facilities. So then we can factor in the absolutely correct energy cost that it's going to cost us for 1 hour or 2 hours or 3 hours of use one day or 5 days a week. So if they're going to rent a gym or if they're going to rent an auditorium, the calculators will tell the person that's doing the use of facilities contract, this is what it's going to cost. You know, rather than have something generic, it just automatically figures it up for them.
Well, I want everybody to take note about what that means as a taxpayer, that there's someone like Cindy taking care of our dollars, and not only that, putting it back into things that really matter for the quality of care for kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty amazing. So my last word from Mrs. Green, we are a mission-based organization committed to raising awareness about every aspect of climate change imaginable, as I say on most shows, and shows like this one help to remind us that there really is a great deal of good news out there when it comes to renewable energy in our community. Sunnyside School District is a poster child, a model for what one public institution can do with the right leadership and commitment. Their projects not only impact everyone in the community in terms of reducing their CO2 emissions and energy use, but it involved hundreds of children who became engaged in and committed to a healthier planet. Sunnyside has certainly set the bar for school districts here and around the country. Their efforts help all of us to live in a more sustainable and energy-efficient world. We thank them for all of their important work And we thank you for being a part of our world. And the final thanks goes to Tucson Electric Power for being such intentional and supportive partners on so many good things going on in our community. The Brightee Awards are only one example of their commitment. And in the category of upcoming shows, just get ready, everybody. I get so excited every show I do. March 26th, a man named Gar Alperovitz, he's co-founder of the Democracy Collaborative, Replacing Corporate Capitalism, Why We Need a Next System. It is a fascinating show. I've already pre-recorded it, and you will want to listen. And then on March 27th, Colonel Sandra Wilson and Lieutenant Colonel Greg Hoffman from Arizona Air National Guard. It'll be our fifth show in a series of six featuring the Brightee Award winners. And Cindy, I have to tell you this on air. The funny thing about that is I call almost everybody by their first name. It doesn't matter if they're a doctor and have 16 PhDs. I could not bring myself to call them anything but Colonel, because there's something in me that respects that in a good way. I was like, and I told them that afterward. I said, yeah. You know, you're just not Sandy. You just have to be Colonel. Is that okay? Yeah. And she was laughing. So it was really a fun show and amazing what they're doing. So thanks, everybody. You matter. Thanks for being a part of our world. And Cindy, you matter to the planet. So thanks for coming here.
Well, thank you for inviting me.